Good morning and greetings of love in Jesus' name. I thought I was going to get better, and I didn't. And so we're going to go about this a little bit different. We're glad for everybody here. I'm going to have to talk in a monotone this morning. And I tell my public speaking class that the scripture should never be read in a monotone. And so I'm going to ask Zach Hosteller to come up and help me out this morning. I need your help. So he can read the scripture for me. I have a number of scriptures relating to the subject I want to address this morning. Zachary, all these that are bold are the scriptures, and so as I get to them, you can read them then. I want to talk about relationship with God. We know that at the Garden of Eden, and when God created man, that he created him for a special purpose. And one of those things was that he wanted someone that he could have a relationship with, a personal relationship. And he valued that and treasured that. But because of sin, that relationship was broken. But we have a lot of people throughout the scripture that especially are highlighted because of their relationship to God. And the scripture talks about a number of people that were God's friends. And today we have many people who claim a relationship with God, and they say, that God is special to them, and they claim even maybe to have a special connection with God in so much that they receive special revelations from him. We have the scripture in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23 that I'm going to have Zachary to read. You just read those.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have not prophesied in thy name. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Okay, what impresses you in that scripture as the main reason why God, why they are going to be barred from their eternal reward? What is the main thing? Okay. First of all, we think about the fact that they were disobedient, he made it clear there that it's those that do and not say. But the reason that they were barred from their reward was because there was no relationship. God says, I don't know you. I never knew you. And so the relationship is what God wants. And that's the way he responded. He wants to know us and to have a relationship with us in an intimate way. Now, directly connected to this relationship is one aspect of the relationship that I want to highlight this morning. It's not the only relation, the only aspect, but it's one aspect that's very important, and without this, there can be no relationship. And that is the doctrine of separation. And it's one of the most clearly established doctrines in the Bible. The doctrine of separation is one of the most clearly established doctrines in the Bible. And it is emphasized from Genesis to Revelation. Our relationship with God is directly affected by our exercise of faith in withdrawing from the world. Go ahead and read James 4:4.
Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Okay, so here connection or relation is established between those who are the friends of God and those who choose to follow after the things of this world. Now, we believe that the concept of insulation rather than isolation is clearly intended, as we see God's motive to have a people who will declare his name and present his cause in a consistent way in obedience to his word. And so he's not saying isolate yourselves from the world. He's saying insulate yourselves from the world, separate yourselves from the world, and don't become a part of it. We have the example of Abraham in the Old Testament. We know that Abraham is a man who was called out. And from here on, God's people are called out. We had that scripture in Acts 7 this morning that was talking about the church in the wilderness. And the word church in the Greek has a strong implication of those who are called out. And called out of the world and called into the service and the fellowship of God. And so that church in the wilderness is those people who were called out of Egypt and who were now in the wilderness. Go ahead and read what he says there in Genesis 12:1.
Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee.
Okay, notice here that the reason I chose that verse is because he says, get thee out of the land of thy country. And then in James 2:23.
And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abram believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.
Okay, how do we know that Abraham believed God? He believed God because he obeyed God, and he did get himself out of that country. And we're studying about that in our Sunday school class now. But because of his willingness to comply and to get himself out, he is called the friend of God. And so there you have a relationship that was contingent on his separating himself from his country and from his kindred and going into a land that God would show him. And then we have the example of Moses and the children of Israel. They were also called out. They were called out of Egypt. Egypt is clearly a type of the world in Satan's kingdom. And God went to a great extent to call them out. And he gave us a lot of types and shadows in this that help us to understand his purpose and his desire for the New Testament church. Go ahead and read Exodus 3:10.
Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
Okay, so I chose that because it says that he was to bring them out of Egypt. And then he mentions a number of places that he brought them out with a strong arm, with a strong hand and a lifted up arm. And it was very dramatic in the way that he brought them out of Egypt. It was a crisis experience. And I believe that as we also make that transition from Egypt into God's spiritual kingdom, that it's a crisis experience and we need God's help. It takes a strong hand and a lifted up arm to bring us out and to make that transition. And we can only do it by the strong hand of God, by his help. All right, then in Exodus 33:11.
And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend.
Okay, so here now we again have that aspect of relationship, that as God dealt with his people and with Moses, his leader, that he spoke face to face with him as a man speaketh unto his friend. Then we have the example of Ezra, when the children of Israel again returned from captivity into Judah, and they were rebuilding and restoring and again establishing themselves as the people of God in Ezra chapter 10, verses 11 and 12.
Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do.
All right, here again we have a relationship. Do his pleasure and separate yourselves. And that was necessary in order for them to have a relationship with God, was to bring about that separation. And then in chapter 6, verses 21 through 22.
And the children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat, and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful.
Okay, we see here again them enjoying that relationship that they had with God as a result of the fact that they had separated themselves from the filthiness and the heathen of the land, and had established themselves as, again, as the people of God. Okay, then we go to the New Testament. New Testament teaching corresponds with Old Testament practice and teaching also. In fact, the New Testament gives it more in the form of a command or of a direct teaching even than we find in the Old Testament, although it was taught there strongly as well. Let's have 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18 read.
Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Okay, here again we have those words, come out from among them, and separate yourselves. And then again we have it, the relationship contingent on the separating and coming out from the world. It says, if you'll do that, then I'll be your father, and you'll be my sons and daughters. And so clearly there is a relationship in focus and at stake here in this scripture. Okay, then we have another scripture in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God.
All right, again here we see God's special people are called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. It's a calling out that God has for his people and for a reason. And in the short time we have this morning, we of course can't exhaust that subject, but it establishes these truths and principles. And then we have 1 John 3, 1.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not.
Okay, again here we have that relationship, that we should be called the sons of God. And as a result of that relationship, we have said no to the world. We've said yes to God. The world knows us not, because it knew him not. Again, we have a relationship here clearly implied. Sometimes people use Jesus' method of reaching the outcasts of religious society as a crutch for embracing the world and joining the apostates and the disobedient. And they say, well, Jesus mixed with them, and so therefore we should too. But I think we need to see the context of it, and why he did what he did, and how he did it. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 19.
The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners.
And as we look at the ministry of Jesus, we see him mingling with those people. We have Mary Magdalene as an example of one who came out. There were 7 devils cast out of her. She had evidently lived a very wicked life, but she was delivered. And And we have her coming and washing his feet with her tears and wiping with the hairs of her head. And she was a changed woman. She was different. She was no longer a sinner, but she had repented and she had found mercy. And she was worshiping him. She had a relationship with Jesus, probably one of the closest relationships that any woman had in his ministry. But it was because she had been delivered. And that's why there was a relationship. It wasn't that Jesus moved into her circles entered into their activities, but rather he called them out of that. His motive was not to join them, but to invite them into his kingdom. Matthew 9, verses 9 through 12.
And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they saith unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with the publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick.
Okay, so we notice here was one of those publicans. And what did Jesus say to him? He said, Follow me. And that was the invitation that he was given to them. And that's why he associated with them. Not that he was socializing to give consent to their lifestyle and their practices, but he was calling them out of that. But because of this, there was misunderstanding, and those who were looking on were criticizing him. And Jesus says that it's not those who are well, but those who are sick who need a doctor. And so he was using this to reach out to them. But if he would have become like them, he would have had nothing to offer them. And then we have God's last word on the subject in Revelation 18:4, and this is in relation to the apostate church, those who have lost their relationship with God, and it has just become a lifestyle, a formality that is full of excusing of carnality and those kind of things. And we see that picture in the apostate church, and not the true church. And this is what he says about that in Revelation 18:4.
And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues.
And so again there we have that call, come out of her. And there needs to be a separation. There needs to be a coming out if you're going to be my people. And then some concluding scriptures here in Revelation 21:7.
He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
And so here again now, the relationship, I will be his God, he will be my son, is contingent on overcoming. Overcoming what? Overcoming who? Those who overcome shall inherit all things. Those who overcome, I will be their God. Those who overcome shall be my son. And so we are delivered from one kingdom and translated into the other. And we're translated into the kingdom of God's Son. And finally, in 1 John 5:4.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
And so here we come back to that again. The overcomers, that which is born of God, those which have a relationship with God, are going to overcome the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And that brings us back again to Abraham, this man of faith who was called out of the country and his kindred and into a land that God would show him. And he was strengthened, he was blessed, and those who followed him were blessed by his faith. We're still blessed by it today. And so these scriptures help to establish that very basic doctrine that is taught from Genesis to Revelation, and may we not be ashamed to be called the friends of God. May that be our desire and our experience. I'm going to ask Brother Robert Beiler to lead us in prayer as we kneel. Thank you, sir.